firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
Our greatest days are ahead of us. And that's the good news that our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, shares with us as we begin our study in Romans 11 at verse 11. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and we're on a five-year journey from Genesis to Revelation. So if you're a new listener, we're certainly glad that you've joined Through the Bible's listening family that spans almost every country and more than 120 languages and dialects worldwide. And as you begin this journey, there's a few things that'll be helpful for you to know. First, this is a five-year tour of the Bible, and it weaves back and forth between the Old and New Testaments, teaching from every book and every chapter. And today we're in the New Testament book of Romans, a truly wonderful book. But Dr. McGee would say every book is truly a wonderful book. But it really doesn't matter where you start. Just you hop on board and in 5 years you'll journey through the whole Bible. How many people have actually done that? Second, we provide free notes and outlines to help you get the most out of each lesson. You can download them at ttb.org/notes or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Third, if you'd like to listen on the go, we've got a bunch of different ways. You can visit our website at ttb.org, and you can view those options. We've got apps, podcasts, station listings, MP3s, and more. Dr. McGee's studies are available in a format that works for you. Last, no matter how long you've been on the Bible bus, and that's what Dr. McGee nicknamed this five-year study, we always love to hear from you. We like to know about the specific study or passage maybe that has impacted and challenged you. We'd love to hear your stories, like this one from a listener named Benita. Thank you for your wonderful programs by the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee. This is my 40th year riding the bus. I suffer with bipolar disorder and rheumatoid arthritis. Many days can be painful and filled with despair, but your broadcast lifts me up knowing that I have Christ in my life. Please stay on the air, getting the word out to every corner of the world. Since I can no longer get your broadcasts on the radio, I listen online. May God bless you and keep you. Well, thank you for your letter, Benita. It's always such a joy to have you on the Bible bus each day. Next, we've got a letter from Bob in Michigan. I'm a relatively new writer on the Bible bus and a monthly contributor. I am enjoying the ride immensely. As a deacon in our church, one of my responsibilities is to teach the Bible study at the county jail. I hold 3 to 4 classes each month and on the average teach 50 inmates a month. Riding the Bible bus has given me a wealth of understanding that I can share with my inmate students. I'm grateful that before each class I can check out online what Dr. McGee has to say about the Bible passages that I plan to present in class. Thank you again and praise to God. Well, thanks for writing us, Bob, and thank you for your contributions that keep Through the Bible on the air in your neighborhood and in almost every country around the world. May God bless your important ministry with inmates in your local prison. What's your story? Why don't you share it by leaving a message on our Facebook page, or you can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Spirit who explains to us the truths in Romans. May our hearts and lives be changed because of what we learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we're in the 11th chapter of Romans. We got into it last time, and we see here God's future purpose with Israel. Today, the remnant of Israel is finding salvation. God's always had a remnant, and this remnant of Israel is finding salvation. And somebody says, well, it seems to me to be a very small remnant. It's larger than you think it is. I'm confident of that. But after all, there are about 15 million of the nation Israel throughout the world. That, of course, is an estimation. But out of that number, the percentage of those that are believers today is probably better than of the Gentile world with, what, 2-3 billion here on this earth? And that means that the percentage, actually, of Israel is greater than probably any other people. And that is something for us to keep in mind. We have seen that the nation rejected Christ and the righteousness of God in Christ, which was offered them by faith. And God has rejected them as a nation temporarily. And two questions naturally arise. Has God permanently rejected them as a nation? In other words, does the nation Israel have a future? Are all the promises of the Old Testament nullified by the rejection of Israel? God promised primacy to the nation Israel in the Old Testament. He said they'll be the head and not the tail of the nation. All the promises of the Old Testament will have a literal fulfillment. Paul makes that clear. And this present age of grace was anticipated in the Old Testament, and today the remnant is finding salvation as the Gentiles do. And the remainder of Israel, what about them? They're blinded. We saw that last time. And we come today to the reason for setting aside the nation Israel. Well, very plainly and succinctly, it was for the salvation of the Gentiles. Paul's going to say that. Now, will you listen to him in verse 11? I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles to provoke them, that is Israel, to jealousy. Or, if I may give you my translation, I say then, did they stumble in order that they might fall? Away with the thought. That's not it. But by their false step or fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. Now, Paul opens this verse with the same engaging inquiry as he did back in verse 1. You remember he raised the question then. I say then, if God cast away his people. Now, will you notice what he's saying here? Rejection is only partial, and it's only temporary. His question is, have they stumbled in such a way that they'll not rise again? And the answer is an emphatic negative. Their fall has enabled God, through his providence, to open the gates of salvation wide to the Gentile. The Jew will see the reality of the salvation of the Gentiles, that they are experiencing the blessing of God, which the Jew thought could only come to him. And this should move him to emulation, not jealousy as we define it. I think today that in that land, I know that we've had several guides there that were Jews. And I think they're rather puzzled that we are so interested in the things that are Jewish, that are in the nation Israel. They marvel at that because there's nothing quite like it. I enjoy London, England, and I enjoy that country because I had ancestors that came from there. But I'll be very frank with you. I was in several countries, and one of them's Egypt. My first thought when I get to Egypt is to get out of there, and I don't want to go by camel either. I want to go by jet. That's no place to stay. I've seen the pyramids and that big hunk of rock there. I've seen it. Now that's it. I don't want to go back. But there is today an interest, and that's something that these people can understand, and they want to know. One man who was a Jewish guy talked to me about it. He said, I want to know more about these things. Quite interesting. Verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? Now if today they have been set aside as a nation, and they have, God's not dealing with them. When God deals with them, they won't have any problem over there with the Arab, by the way. That'll all be solved. And they'll not be in that land in fear, because he's made it very clear that every man is going to dwell in peace and tranquility under his own vine, his own fig tree. None shall make him afraid. They're scared to death today, and they're running scared. And you can't blame them for that. But the day is coming when they'll be received. Now, if today they're setting aside, has brought the grace of God to Gentiles, when they're received again, what about the grace of God to Gentiles? It'll be multiplied. James made that clear in the 15th of Acts at that great council of Jerusalem. He said that God today is calling out of the Gentiles a people to his name, just the same as he's doing out of Israel. Now, he says, but after this, he will return. He will restore, build again the tabernacle of David that's fallen down. And then what he's going to do? All the Gentiles. Now, that's my reason for making periodically a statement that sometimes puzzles folk. You know, the greatest revival, if you want to call it that, that ever happened so far on this earth took place before the church got here. A man by the name of Jonah went into the city of Nineveh and saw the entire city, and that may have meant the nation at that time turned to God. On the day of Pentecost, and I hear so many people, oh, let's repeat Pentecost, what percentage do you think were saved? It was a feast that all the males were required to go to Jerusalem. Must have been several hundred thousand in the environs of Jerusalem. How many were saved? Well, let's add up the first few days and give them 10,000. Probably that many after the first few days of preaching. May I say to you, a pretty small percentage, is it not? And the greatest revival since then took place in the Hawaiian Islands. And actually, the percentage there was not great. It could have been 50%. But that's not like it was in the days of Jonah. And I believe that the greatest revival will take place after the church leaves this earth. Then I use the term revival in a general sense, that is, people turning to God. And I think that multitudes of Gentiles will turn to God not only in the Great Tribulation period, but in the millennium. Because nations will enter the millennium, and a great many of them are going to like it. And they're going to turn to God in that period. I believe that with all my heart. I think that's what Paul's saying here. Now, verse 13 and 14, he says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office, if by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Now, let me give you my translation. I think it'll help you here in the understanding of these two verses. He says, but I speak to you, the Gentiles. Inasmuch then, as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I glorify my ministry. That is, Paul says, I magnify or glorify my ministry because I am the apostle to the Gentiles. If by any means I may move to emulation, that is, provoke to jealousy, them of my flesh, and may say some of them. Now, Paul says, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. I rejoice in that. But as I preach to the Gentiles, I hope it will move many of my brethren, many of my people, those that are after my flesh, to turn to Christ also. That is what he's saying. And Paul, you remember, wrote to the Corinthians, and he said to them, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Now that's the reason he went to Jerusalem, shaved his head, took an oath. Somebody says, oh, he shouldn't have done that. He lived under grace. Well, does under grace mean you can't do that? Under grace means you can do it or not do it. And Paul wanted to win his brethren. That's important. Very important, by the way. And now he says, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. He said, I'm obeying Christ, and that's the reason I did it, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. That is the thing that he's saying. He explains why he reported to the Jews of the conversion of Gentiles. He was first of all fulfilling his office as an apostle to the Gentiles. And in so doing, he was trying to motivate his brethren, move them to Christ, to turn to him, his brethren according to the flesh. Some turned to Christ. It was a few, but it was some. And in all of this, Paul was fulfilling his ministry, and God was accomplishing his purpose in this age with both Jew and Gentile. And you know, it's a great satisfaction to do what you are confident God's called you to do. I have been more satisfied as a minister since I've retired in what I'm doing than any time in my entire ministry. I got so involved in church work. You do have a lot of spiritual babes to burp, and you have to put up with a great deal. But in this radio ministry, I just shut the door here and shut the world out. And I can teach the Word of God and know that it's going out. There's been a deep satisfaction to me in teaching the Word of God and doing what you believe God's called you to do. And I just have to trust these tapes. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm making a tape, friend. And it'll be multiplied, and they'll be sent all over the world, played on different radio stations everywhere. And I just trust them. I just trust the Lord. This is in His hands. Deep satisfaction in that, my friend. You can't imagine the satisfaction there is. And I would love to get you in that position today to do what God wants you to do. Now, I'm confident God doesn't want all of you to support the program. And the reason I say that's because all of you are not doing it. But I know God wants some of you. I have several wonderful partners in this ministry. They're laymen. I have one man that's right here in Pasadena. I think I could call him up and he'd move heaven and hell in order to help us in this ministry. He's our partner. He's provided this marvelous headquarters we have here. And I know another man. You'd be surprised, the head of the organization, if I'd tell you about it. Tremendous organization, covers this country. And he's taking care of several of these stations for us, you see. They're partners. And these men, the thing I've noticed about them, they get deep satisfaction in doing this thing. This is their ministry. They're satisfied in doing this for God today. Oh, my friend, I'd like to get you to the place. Now, he may want you to get busy and teach a Sunday school class. He may want you to get busy and do personal work. He may want you to go into business, in a business enterprise, to be able to reach people. And it'll be a deep satisfaction when you arrive there. Now, I keep on reading here. I'm sorry I got bogged down there, but I felt this is rather important. Now, he says in verse 15, "For if the casting away of them," that is Israel, "be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" I think that verse is very clear. It's a wonderful thing. I think the greatest days are ahead of us, friends. As far as man is concerned, the world's going to the dogs. Things are bad when you look outside today. Isn't that true? And man today's got this thing in a mess. But my God, He's on the throne. And He's going to straighten it out, you know. And the greatest days yet are in the future. Oh, what a future. I felt sorry for a man that I was talking to, a businessman over in Hawaii. He was out on the golf course where I was, and I just walking around, and wasn't playing that time. And he began to talk, "Where are you from?" and all that sort of thing. "Who are you? What are you doing?" I told him, and he told me he was a businessman. He's from Chicago, and he apparently is a prominent businessman. Vice president of some concern. I know he's got money, but he is a man that, oh, how pessimistic he is about the future. A lot of people pessimistic about the future today, friends. Doesn't look bright on the outside, but a glorious future for the child of God. I feel like saying hallelujah. If I wasn't such a dignified preacher, I'd say hallelujah. Now, verse 16, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches." Now, what he's saying here is that part of the dough, that is, when I say dough, I mean bread dough. And God, you remember back there in Numbers, he says, "Of the first of your dough you shall give unto the Lord a heave offering in your generations." And it's a wonder I haven't made something of that before now, the first of your dough. But what he means is bread dough. Now, a part of the dough was offered to God as a token that it was all acceptable. The first fruits evidently refers to the origin of the nation. And what he's saying here, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Holy here has no reference to a moral quality, but the fact that they were set aside for God. Now, if the first fruits, and if the first part of dough, little bit of dough, if that was set aside for God, what about the whole harvest? What about the nation? It all belongs to God. You see, God's not through with him. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, you and I benefit because of the nation Israel. That's the reason I could never be an anti-Semite. Never could. I owe too much to them as a nation. Now will you notice, verse 18 and 19, boast not against the branches. You and I have no right to be anti-Semitic. We have no right to boast of anything. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Everything you and I have is rooted in the fact God called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he called this nation. And out of that nation he brought Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. I couldn't be an anti-Semite. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. We might boast along that line. But the olive tree is Israel, and the wild olive is the church. We need to remember that. Verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. And the important thing is, unbelief set them aside, and we only stand because of faith. Oh, my Christian friend today, you do not stand before God on your merit, your church membership. You stand on one basis alone. You believe in Christ, and that puts you in Christ. Now, this is a word of warning. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. And if you want to know what's going to happen to the organized church, and I'm more and more convinced that the church of Laodicea goes into the great tribulation, there's not a saved member in it. As Dr. George Gill used to say, some churches will meet on Sunday morning after the rapture, and they won't miss a member. That's Laodicea. Now he says to the church of Philadelphia, I'm keep you from the hour of trial that's going to come on this earth. That's the great tribulation. He promised he'd keep them. That's the church today that has an open door before it and is getting out the word of God. That's a church I belong to, friends. I belong to a church. That invisible body of believers today that believe that the word of God should be gotten out. Hope you belong to that church. You do, you belong to my church today. And it's an invisible body of believers. And that church will be taken out at the time of the rapture. And it'll be before the great tribulation. Now he says here, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Now the church today, the liberalism that's based on a philosophy, a ritual, based on going through some sort of religious gyroflexions, all of this sort of thing today. May I say to you, they do not belong to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have here the restoration of the nation Israel brings the greatest blessing. And what a great blessing it is to bring on the world today. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Now these are stern words. Paul calls upon the Gentiles, behold, two examples. Rejected Israel reveals the severity of God. But the Gentiles who have turned to God, the benevolent goodness of God is revealed. And my friends, those two sides of God need to be revealed today. Judgment of God against rejection of Christ and sin. And the grace of God to those that will trust Christ. Now, it was my full intention today to finish this chapter, but I fell short of that, and I'm going to finish it for next time for sure and get into the 12th chapter, the final division of this epistle to the Romans. But let me read verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God's able to graft them in again. And Israel will turn to God. The Old Testament makes that very clear, that this nation is going to turn to God. They'll even ask, what mean those nail prints in your hands? He said, I received those in the House of my friends, they'll weep and wail because of that. The great day of atonement, they'll turn to God. God will save them, because he's going to save them just like he saves us, by his marvelous, infinite mercy and grace. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
You were inspired by Dr. McGee today as he talked about the deep satisfaction that comes from joining in God's work. Then I'd like to invite you to join us at Through the Bible. To find out more how you can pray and support the Bible Bus as we make our way through your community and around the world, visit us at ttb.org/give or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. We're grateful for your prayer and financial support. It's how God provides for this ministry. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here tomorrow saving a seat on the Bible Bus just for you. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.